ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 एंटाइटल्ड ध्रुव महाराज लीव्स होम एंड वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट नंबर 45। प्रसादा अभिमुखं शश्वत् प्रसन्ना वदने क्षणं सुनासं सुभ्रुवं चारु कपोलं सुरसुन्दरम्। प्रसादाभिमुखं शश्वत् प्रसन्ना वदने क्षणं सुनासं सुब्रुवं चारु कपोलं सुरसुन्दरम्। प्रसादाभिमुखं शश्वत् प्रसन्ना वदने क्षणं सुनासा सुब्रुवं चारु कपोलं सुरसुन्दरम्। प्रसादाभिमुखं शश्वत् प्रसन्ना वदने क्षणं सुनासं सुब्रुवं चारु कपोलं सुरसुन्दरम्। कपोलं सुरसुन्दरम् प्रसादाभिमुखं शश्वत् प्रसन्नावदने क्षणं सुनासं सुब्रुवं चारु पोलं सुरसुन्दरम्। प्रसादाभिमुखं शश्वत् प्रसन्नावदने क्षणं सुनासं सुब्रुवं चारु कपोलसुरसुन्दरं। माताजी। प्रसादाभिमुखं शश्वत् प्रसन्नं वदने क्षणं सुनासुब्रुवं चारु कपोलं सुरसुन्दरं। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। प्रसाद अभिमुखम ऑलवेज प्रिपेयर टू ऑफर कॉजलेस मर्सी। शश्वत ऑलवेज प्रसन्न प्लीजिंग वदन माउथ ईक्षणं vision. Sunasa. Very nicely constructed nose. Subhruvam. Very nicely decorated eyebrows. Charu. Beautiful. Kapolam. Forehead. Sura. The demigods. Sundaram. Good looking. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Brackets. The form of the Lord is described herein. Brackets closed. The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. To the devotees who see Him, He appears never to be displeased, and He is always prepared to award benedictions to them. His eyes, His nicely decorated eyebrows, His raised nose, and His broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. Purport. This verse clearly explains how one has to meditate on the form of the Lord. Impersonal meditation is a bogus invention of the modern days. In none of the Vedic literatures is impersonal meditation recommended. In Bhagavad Gita, when meditation is recommended, the word matpara, which means pertaining to me, is used. Any Vishnu form pertains to Lord Krishna, because Lord Krishna is the original Vishnu form. Sometimes someone tries to meditate upon the impersonal Brahman, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as avyakta, meaning unmanifested or impersonal. But it is remarked by the Lord Himself that those who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Lord suffer a very troublesome task, because no one can concentrate on the impersonal feature. One has to concentrate on the form of the Lord, which is described here in connection with Dhruva Maharaj's meditation. As will be apparent from later descriptions, Dhruva Maharaj perfected this kind of meditation and his yoga was successful. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshware Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataro Bhishcha Kripa Sindhu Be Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Reading the translation again.
The form of the Lord is described herein. The Lord's face is perpetually very beautiful and pleasing in attitude. To the devotees who see him, he appears never to be displeased and is always prepared to award benediction to them. His eyes, his nicely decorated eyebrows, his raised nose and his broad forehead are all very beautiful. He is more beautiful than all the demigods. Hare Krishna, so we welcome you all for today morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So for many weeks, we are having this discussion on the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. And many of you have shared so many points on which we can take home and which acharyas are trying to point out here. So I'll just share some of the points which I have learned from all of you. Hare Krishna. So as we know, this Dhruva Maharaj pastime is showing us how Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother and he did not get any support from his father also, and that led to Dhruva Maharaj becoming very upset and wanting to find a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather. And as Prabhupada points out, what can be bigger or greater than his great-grandfather is Brahmaji. So there has to be something which is even higher than what Brahmaji has, which ultimately means going to Vaikuntha or having some planet which cannot be destroyed. Because Brahmaji has something which stays for the whole time frame of this existence, this material existence. So actually, if we see what Dhruva Maharaj's pastime is highlighting is the principle of determination. How a sadhaka should be very determined in his efforts in pursuing any goal. And for the matter of Dhruva Maharaj, it's his prestige and also how he follows the instructions of Narad Muni. So I was thinking from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching various attributes or principles through his various associates. For example, if we see Sanatana Goswami, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is highlighting the principle of humility through the behavior of Sanatana Goswami. Then if we look at the character of Ramananda Rai, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching the principle of sense control. So we know this pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Pradyumna Mishra comes to hear Bhagavatam from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends him to Ramananda Rai, and he is very much engaged in making Devadasis ready for, and he is not disturbed at all. And for Sanatana Goswami, it is the case where there are many instances. One case which is highlighted, one pastime where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to come immediately to his residence in Gambira, but rather than taking the straightforward way which goes ahead in front of the Lord Jagannath's temple, he takes a very difficult route through the sands, the hot sands in the afternoon, and he shows his humility. And then also Lord is showing through Raghunath Das Goswami the principle of renunciation. How he could live but just eating some drops of buttermilk or a palmful of buttermilk every day. He was so renounced. So these principles, so as we see, Dhruva Maharaj is showing this principle of determination, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates are also exhibiting some principles which Lord wants to highlight. And as I see around, I see so many of you exhibiting different qualities which I want to imbibe, which is very unique in everyone. So everyone has some unique attribute which he is very convinced about, and he also follows it very naturally. So here, determination is highlighted for Dhruva Maharaj. So like I was speaking to one boy had come recently here. So then I was speaking to him. So he was saying that Oh, you are speaking. There are so many things to learn. You have to learn humility. You have to learn, you have to practice humility. You have to practice determination. You have to practice tolerance. You have to practice renunciation. You have so many things to do. But I find that, how will I do it? It's so many things to practice. So then I was thinking, this verse from Upadeshamrit. So, Utsaha Nishchaya Dhairyat Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat. संग असत संग त्याग सतो वृत्ते षड्भिर भक्तिर प्रसिद्ध्यति. सो इफ इन दैट वर्स वी सी प्रभुपाद्स पर्पल. सो श्री प्रभुपाद इज मेंशनिंग टू पॉइंट्स विच अ साधका. देर आर थ्री थिंग्स विच आर मेंशनड हियर. सो देर इज उत्साह निश्चयात एंड धैर्यात. सो निश्चयात इज डिटर्मिनेशन विच ध्रुव महाराज पास्ट टाइम और हिज कैरेक्टर इज हाईलाइटिंग. But then there is the principle of utsahat. So Srila Prabhupada says naturally, for to be successful in any field in life, one has to be enthusiastic. Whether be a businessman or a student, one has to be enthusiastic. So same goes for one who is trying to practice spiritual life also. So Prabhupada gives the example of, like Prabhupada is saying, right now I am translating on this dictaphone. So I am speaking on this dictaphone. So the person who invented this dictaphone, in his imagination, would never have thought of using this for Lord's service. But everything is energy of the Lord, and a devotee knows how to use it in Lord's service. And Prabhupada goes to the extent to say, we should not narrow our vision of what can be used in Krishna's service and what cannot be. Under the guidance of spiritual master, one should engage in devotional service enthusiastically, but he should understand that to fulfill the mission or order of spiritual master, one can have very broad vision in engaging everything in Krishna's service. So when one is enthusiastic, he has that, Lord gives him the right intelligence to actually use everything in Krishna's service. Then Prabhupada says about this aspect of dhairyat. So Prabhupada says these activities must be executed with patience. One should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness. Further down Prabhupada says, one should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take instructions from spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on mercy of Guru and Krishna. So what does patience means? Prabhupada is saying patience here means that one does enthusiastically, but then depends on Guru and Krishna. So that dependence on Guru and Krishna is being patient. The successful execution of Krishna consciousness activities require both patience and confidence. So then Prabhupada gives the analogy of, anybody remembers what analogy Prabhupada gives there? When a girl is married, so she wants a child. So she is confident to get a child, but she cannot get a child immediately. She has to wait for some time to get the child. So she has to be patient. So similarly, a devotee has to be patient. He is confident that this process will give me the result. But he has to patiently execute the principles, and then he will get the ultimate result, the child of bhakti, which he is actually aspiring for. He or she is aspiring for. So then I was remembering this, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj tells this story of a disciple of Parasar Bhatt, who is, he has this question, what qualities do I need to actually know who I am? So then Parasar Bhatt says that please go to my friend Ananta, who stays in Tirupati. And you can learn from him. So he is in Srirangam. And now you go and travel to Tirupati. So then he makes this RDS. Those days, it's talking about thousand years back, where there was no transport. He had to travel all alone, walking. So he has to climb mountains. And he reaches this after making this RDS journey. And he asks this question to Ananta, that I have been sent by my guru, Parasar Bhatt, and I want to know what qualities do I need to actually know who I am. So he says, okay, So he says, we will see. So then he does not actually answer the question, and he stays for long time, almost 6 months, and then suddenly there is a festival which is about to take place, and he is actually made to do the service of serving all the guest prasad. So then one party of guests come, he serves prasad, and then he sits down to honor his own prasad. And then suddenly Anantacharya says, oh, wait, wait, there's another party who has come, so please serve them also first. So he serves them also, and so on and so on. So parties keep on coming, and he keeps on serving. And it's like now night, everyone has been served, they have happily gone home. And then Anantacharya suddenly says, you had a question? So he is about to honor his prasad, and he becomes very enthusiastic. He jumps and he says, yeah, my question was, what qualities do I need to have to know who I am? So he says, actually, it's very simple. You need to be like salt, chicken, crane, and like you. So he says these four things, and that's it. So he says, but this does not, I don't understand anything. So he says, no, this is my answer. So then he says, okay, what to do? So he again goes back, takes his journey, and then he comes to Srirangam, and he tells the whole what happened in Tirupati, and then Parasar Bhat says, oh, what a profound answer. So he says, but I did not understand anything. So then he starts explaining about what is the quality of salt. So in brief, salt shows the importance of being very balanced in life. Neither too much, neither too little. Because if too little salt is there, it makes the food not tasty. And if there's too much of salt, it makes the food unpalatable. You cannot eat it. So similarly, one who is actually looking for self-realization, he has to have a balanced life, not to have extremes. Another aspect of salt which is mentioned is that it how salt gives up its existence. Like if you say that take out, like there's some vegetable and it has salt, you say take out the carrot, take out the bean, you can take it out. But if you say take out the salt, you cannot take out the salt, because salt actually gives up its existence and blends with the food. So similarly, like salt, we should give up our ego and be like, give up our own upadhis, different upadhis which we have gained because of our ego. That is necessary for a sadhaka. He should be able to blend with what is necessary to serve. Another aspect is that we never say, oh, today salt was so nice. We always say, oh, what palak paneer, or what mixed vegetable, or what so and so forth. But we never say that salt is so nice. Similarly, actually, but what is giving taste is salt. If there is less salt, everyone will say, oh, aaj to salt thik se nahi dala. Yeah, if there's too much salt jyada dal diya. So, like from salt, one can learn the aspect of that one should do. Salt does the needful, but never gets glorification in response. So one should do the needful, but always maintain a low profile. So one should not be eager to actually gain lot of that accolades, that I am the one who actually did this. So from salt, these three things are mentioned. Then from chicken, so chicken actually teaches that it's always trying to look for the grains within even sand particles or even the garbage. So we should always focus on the good in others, not the fault in others. So even though there may be garbage or in a situation. So from person, we should always see good. From situation also, we should not see reasons for complaint, but we should see reasons for how I can grow in this situation. And third aspect is that how we should see the essence everywhere. We should not focus on the differences. So in our spiritual practices as spiritualists, so when we see people of other religions or other faiths, we should try to focus on the essence rather than focus on the differences. And from crane, we can learn that how the crane, as we have heard in, it's called bagula in Hindi. So Bagula is standing on one leg in a shallow stream of water, and it's waiting, and it lets all the small fishes, small insects pass, but it actually feasts on the big fish. So similarly, we should be also feasting on the Supreme Absolute Truth and let all other small things of fame, adoration, prestige pass by. They are the small fishes which are actually not disturbed, which a sadhaka is not disturbed by. And fourth is actually why I told this story was this fourth. He said, and like you. So like you, Parasar Bhatt explains why he should be like you. He says that you made this whole journey, so you are very enthusiastic. And there you waited for 6 months. You were very patient. And what was important was you had this quality of service to others. You were willing to serve others despite inconveniences on yourself. So I was thinking that how, in essence, if we see what is this one quality which will help us gain all other qualities. So as Prabhupada says in Nectar of Upadeshamrita's introduction, there's one line, famous line, he says that the progress of a person depends on the attitude of the follower. So what is the correct attitude? The service attitude. So if one has a service attitude, so then in that situation, one can actually make progress. He can develop all these qualities. They will naturally come because that service attitude is actually the basic criteria, and we can see from this story also. So this is how determination aspect is highlighted in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, and there are many different qualities which a sadhaka needs to imbibe. Now, in this particular verse, if we go, there's a beautiful description of Lord's beautiful form. So it's mentioned how he has prasana vadaneksha ikshanam sunasam subruvam charu kapolam surasundaram. So he has a very beautiful raised nose. He has a very beautiful forehead, kapolam, subruvam, and he is actually more beautiful than even demigods. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll see various instances where the beauty of the Lord is described by various devotees. So like one place I was remembering which similar kind of mood or similar kind of description is in the 4th canto, 24th chapter. Snigdha praradghanashyamam sarvasondarya sangramam charuayata chaturbaho sujata ruchirananam padma kosha palaksha sham sundara bhrusunasikam sudija sukapolasyam sama karna vibhushanam. So like we were in Kerala, and so then we used to visit the temple every day with His Grace Shivananda Shambhu, and we used to recite this verse because there was a deity of Vishnu in four-handed form, and so I remembered this verse from there. So there also it's mentioned how about snigdha pravrit ghanashyamam. So how does the Lord look? He's ghanashyamam, like a during the rainy cloud, the dark cloud. Sarva saundarya sangramam. He is the epitome of all beauties. Charu ayata chaturbahu. He has four-handed form, and he has got very exquisite, beautiful face. Sujita ruchirananam. And sudhuja su kapolasyam samakarna vibhushanam. So he has got equal, very beautiful ears, which are endowed with they're decorated with these sharp-shaped earrings. He has a very beautiful sukopolasya and sudhuja. He's got very beautiful teeth and smile. So like that it's mentioned. Actually, one thing which I saw here was, which Prabhupada does in the, actually if you see this word, prasada abhimukham. So it's mentioned in word to word by Prabhupada, always prepared to offer causeless mercy. But in the translation, Prabhupada says, to the devotee who sees him, he appears never to be displeased, and he is always prepared to award benediction to them. So Prabhupada has actually extended that understanding, that to the devotee who sees him, He appears never to be displeased, and he is always prepared toward benediction to them. So I was thinking, what does it mean for a devotee who sees him, he seems never to be displeased? So in Srimad Bhagavatam, I was thinking of various instances where devotees saw Lord. So like if we take the example of Daksha, in the fourth canto, in his second birth as Daksha, so he does this Hamsa Guhya prayers. And after these prayers, Lord appears. And Lord says, oh, I am so pleased with you because you are engaged in the same work which I want to do, which is populate this whole universe. And then he says, actually, Brahma, Shiva, all the other great personalities are also doing the same work. And I'm very pleased with you. Actually, Lord is pleased with him. But then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary writes that if Lord was because he had these traces of envy or the offense to Lord Shiva, therefore, he actually again commits an offense towards Narad Muni. He actually curses Narad Muni. So he actually had darshan of the Lord, and Lord is saying, I am very pleased with you, with your service. But because he had that mood of envy, therefore the traces of offense, and therefore he actually continued in that mood. So similarly, so therefore, he appears never to be displeased. So he's not displeased with Daksha for doing what he's doing. He's actually, Lord says that actually you are doing, helping in my work of populating. Why? Why the universe is created? To reform the conditioned souls so that they understand what is their true conditional nature. And then another example is of Kardama Muni. So Kardama Muni also, when he prays, Lord comes and Lord says, I'm very pleased with you. And I have already understood your mind, and I have arranged a suitable bride for you, and you will meet her in just a short time. So there also Acharyas are writing that it's not that Lord wanted Kardama Muni to enjoy, but he gave facility for some time, seeing his desire, and then he will be engaged in full-time devotional service. And then we also see, so I'm trying to give a contrasting. So then Lord appeared for Indra and Prithu Maharaj's yagya, where there was a dispute. And Lord seems to be very happy, or he was actually siding Indra, that Brahmaji and Lord, they were siding. But what was the reaction on seeing Prithu Maharaj? It's mentioned that Lord had to take support of Garuda. He was so overwhelmed seeing Prithu Maharaj. So Lord never seems to be displeased, but still he has different ways of reciprocating with devotees. So Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagwan Ki Jai, Shri Gaurang Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. So like that. So therefore Lord appears never to be displeased, but he is always prepared to award benediction to them. So to Daksha also he awarded benediction, to Kardama Muni he also awarded benediction. But to Prithu Maharaj, he was just so overwhelmed with love of his just giving up that 100 sacrifice. Also, again and again we see, as mentioned, the beauty of the Lord. So if we see the beauty of the Lord, then no other beauty of this world appears attractive. So therefore, the devotees who are engaged in deity worship, who are engaged in the Shringar of the Lord, they make the dressing so beautiful as per the inspiration of the Lord, and that actually attracts the heart of a devotee who is taking darshan. And if he gets attracted to such beauty, he will not be attracted to any other beauty of this world. So this reminds of another story from south of Dhanurdas. So we have heard that how he was attracted to one woman, and he was constantly looking at her. And there was a procession of Lord Ranganath which was taking place. And then Ramanujacharya sees that how come he is so not focusing on darshan of Lord, but focusing on just looking at that beautiful girl. So he asks, why are you so attractive to that lady? So he says that his eyes are very beautiful. So Ramanujacharya says, if I show you something which is more beautiful, then what about that? He says, then I will be more attracted to that. So then Ramanujacharya goes and takes him to Lord Ranganath. And he actually, Ramanujacharya prays to Lord Ranganath that actually reveal your beauty. So it's actually through the mercy of great devotees, pure devotees of the Lord, that we are able to actually see that the beautiful form of the Lord. And he actually, when he took the darshan, he actually saw such beauty in the eyes of Lord Ranganath. He got attracted. And later we know how he became one of the great, that he was married to that girl and he became a great disciple of Ramanujacharya. So this is from the verse itself. Then from the purport, if we see, Prabhupada is focusing in the purport on this aspect of meditation on the impersonal aspect and meditation on the personal form of the Lord. So, so there seems to be always some kind of dispute regarding which is a higher form of worship. So like Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita has personally declared that to meditate on this avyakta or impersonal or Brahman feature is very, very cumbersome or difficult. So therefore one should not take to that. But we see how Bhagavad philosophy presents a very holistic approach of this Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaneti Shabdete, that actually this understanding encompasses all different features of the Lord, of being the impersonal Brahman, of being the localized Paramatma, and also being the actually the epitome, the supreme most beautiful form of Lord. So we can see the examples of Shukdev Goswami, the four Kumaras. They had Brahman realization. But still, after hearing the beautiful form of the Lord, the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, they actually got more attracted to the form of the Lord. So that shows that how that aspect is very, very attractive and dear. So actually, I was remembering another episode which His Holiness Radhanath Swami mentions. So once when Maharaj was actually used to preach in the universities in America. So that time, once he was in Ohio University and he was actually sitting and talking to one student in the garden. And then on the other side of the garden, he saw there was a lot of commotion going on. And then one Christian preacher was actually just shouting, "Oh, you will go to hell," because one boy and girl were holding hands together and walking. So, and then another person was eating meat. So he said, "You are definitely going to go to hell and suffer eternally." So like that. So then one of the boys pointed out, what about this person? He is a Hindu," pointing to Maharaj. So then this person said, "He is a pagan and he will definitely go to hell. So then why don't you tell him that?" So then they come and then everyone surrounds these two. So Maharaj is there, this Christian preacher is there, and they are surrounding, and then everyone is anticipating. Now they'll be like, you know, in a fight between two opposite teams. So there'll be like some interesting conversation which they are looking for. So then he says, "Oh, you are practicing this religion, so then you are going to go to hell eternally." So he says, so Maharaj says that, "I did not mean to say it," but he says, he asked him, "Where are you going?" So he's saying, "I'm going to heaven." So he says, "If a fanatic like you is in heaven, I better be in hell. So I prefer to be in hell." So then Maharaj says, "I did not want to be say that, but I just came out of my mouth." But then he says, "Actually, why do you say that I'll go to hell and you will go to heaven?" So then that Christian preacher says, "Because the only way to God is through Jesus." So then Maharaj says, "Yeah, I accept Jesus also as a, you know, a son of the God. And I accept his, you know, way, path." So he says one of the two most essential instructions of Jesus, which are there in the Bible, are that thou, love Lord with your body, mind and words. And second instruction is love thy neighbor as yourself. So he said that is the same instruction which is found in any bona fide religion. So our religion is also teaching the same thing. So then he asked, so, but he says, I don't accept Krishna. So he said, but do you accept that Krishna or that God is very beautiful? Yes. Do you accept that God is most powerful? Yes. Do you accept that God is full of all strength? Yes. He said, actually, the word Krishna means the same thing. So then there is no dispute over it. So then the whole debate continues and he is kind of pacified, but he still maintains this anger. So he complains to the university authorities, and Maharaj used to run some cooking classes in that university. So they stopped their cooking classes. And one day Maharaj comes and there's a lock, but the students actually favor Maharaj, and then they register a complaint that no, we want these classes to be held. And then they continue the classes, but every time this Christian preacher will come with a camera, notepad, and just so that he wanted proof. He wanted some proof that how this is a pagan religion. They are cheating, they are teaching some nonsense. So he'll come, he'll not talk to anyone. But slowly, he started having prasad there, the halwa prasad. And after 4 weeks, he asked, can you tell me the recipe, how you make this? I will also feed to my Christian congregation in the church. So Maharaj tells him the whole recipe. And then after he comes back, Maharaj asks, so how did it go? So he said, everyone liked it. And Maharaj ends by saying, I told him, oh, so I think I would better be like to be with you in heaven only. So the point I'm telling this story is that when Prabhupada is focusing on the distinction between impersonal aspect and personal aspect, is just to showcase how the personal aspect is very easy to approach. But when dealing with people of different kinds of faith, we should focus on similarities rather than focusing on the differences. And then only the change of heart can take place. Otherwise, there is no end to argument. Like I remember when I was very old, you know, just started coming, and then I was like, part of some Harinam party, and I was distributing books. And then some Christian preacher came, and I just started arguing with him. So he's saying, this is bogus. And I said, what you are teaching is also not bona fide. Jesus says, thou shalt not kill, and you are killing. And he's saying, this is bogus. So then one devotee said, don't argue, just come, follow us. So then if you go into an argument mode, nothing will be achieved. He is also sticking to his point of view. I am also sticking to my point of view. So when in a neophyte state, the position is, I want to just prove that I am right and you are wrong. But as we advance, we should actually see the similarities. Focus on the, like we learned from the chicken. If you remember the story of chicken, the principle, the chicken is that focus on the essence. And just don't focus too much on the differences. So that aspect we can learn. And the the greatness of Srila Prabhupada is that he actually synthesized all the different aspects of worship of Lord, all the different aspects of devotion to the Lord. So if you read any other, not bona fide acharyas which are outside, they give such a vague conception of, oh, God is love, God is peace, God is light. So it just gives a very vague understanding. And like I was discussing with Amada Gopal Prabhu, so he was mentioning that why this imagination, this Prabhupada uses the word again and again, imagination. So when we are dealing with meditation on impersonal form, it's like an imaginary, because it's nothing, it's all vague, it's light, it's some energy. So you can just imagine whatever you, an energy or a light, and just meditate on that. So there is no substantial process to follow to actually achieve your goal. But here Prabhupada, through his teachings, being very clear that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has his own abode, which is Golok Vrindavan, which is actually full of all bliss, full of all opportunities of service. So actually, why this need of, or why this personal form of the Lord is so beautiful? Actually, I was thinking the importance of personal aspect stresses the need of prayers, and prayers help us connect to God. So we will see that for a devotee in any situation throughout his whole day or years, he just connects with the Lord by just making a prayer, and he understands that Lord is a person and he hears my prayers and he reciprocates with my prayers. So I heard two nice statements from two devotees on the importance of prayers. So one was our Rajams Pro, who once mentioned to me that I was just talking to him in one Rath Yatra, I think it was in Vapi, we had gone, and Prabhuji was sharing with me that how, like, it's when we are glorifying a devotee. So when we are glorifying a devotee, it's actually good because we should see good and encourage a devotee. But then he added another dimension to that. He said that, Prabhuji, we should also pray for that devotee, that he should not take my glorification seriously, because it will be detrimental for his. So our, what is the actual, because bhakti is very personal. And it's, so we are not just doing glorification just to, for the sake of it. We want that person should also benefit and we should also benefit. So then that was like really nice aspect of prayers. He was mentioning that how we are glorifying, that will actually help us. But what will help him? If he gets that, he understands, oh, this is just to encourage me, and he does not get fascinated or thinking that these qualities are me. So we should pray for him. So I thought that was a very nice point he mentioned. And then Madhav Gopal Prabhu was mentioning one point yesterday. So he was saying, so to learn something from devotees, so we may point out faults with them. Oh, this, because we want to learn. But he says, very nicely mentioned, that even though we may be wanting to learn something from that situation, but if we just point out the fault, then there is malice in the heart. It will generate some malice in the heart, some negativity in the heart. But at the same time, if we pray for that devotee, that devotee be actually come out of that situation and progress in devotional service, then it's free of malice, it's free of negativity. So then how prayers in every situation where we are seeing good, we are seeing bad, we are actually doing, wanting anything, because of the personal aspect of Lord, we can actually pray. And that prayer makes us very close to the Lord, very connected with the Lord. So then that prayers are very beautiful in action. So actually the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is full of so many prayers of the devotees. And they are actually continuously praying, glorifying his magnanimity, his beauty, his just different aspects of the Lord. And they are connecting with the Lord. So this is how we should actually connect with the Lord. And then in the end, just to conclude, Prabhupada, if we go through, now the section has started where Narad Muni is telling about the what form of the Lord you should meditate on. So he is giving description of that. And Prabhupada, because to Dhruva Maharaj, Narad Muni is not giving a direct devotional method. It's more like a devotion imbued in Ashtanga, because he is doing yoga practice, he is meditating. But Prabhupada says, what does this meditation on the Lord mean? It is actually deity worship. So Prabhupada in his purports, for a bhakti yogi, how does this translate? For a bhakti yogi, it translates as actually doing archa vigraha seva. So this meditation on the Lord. So then this archa vigraha seva helps us connect with the Lord. So just another aspect, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in one of his lectures was mentioning that we are Anu, the jivas are Anu, the Lord is Vibhu. So he is unlimited. He is unlimited, and we are very insignificant. But when we are actually focusing on the Arch Vigraha Seva, the unlimited Lord becomes limited. So then he was saying, so there are two aspects. So then I think the other day Radha Pramod Prabhu was saying that even in the spiritual world, everyone has siddhis. If Mother Yashoda just desires butter for Krishna today, butter will appear. But she does not desire. She actually works hard to make the butter. She just does not, because everything is Chintamani Dham. You just desire and it will appear. But devotees are working hard to actually serve the Lord. So when the unlimited becomes limited, the scope of service becomes unlimited. So when the unlimited Lord becomes limited, in the Archa Vigraha form, he is limited, the scope of service becomes unlimited. So this is one statement which Madhav Gopal Prabhu told me, and he gave me an example to explain this. He was mentioning that how, if there is, like in ashram, if we have unlimited serving of amras, suppose. So what is the scope of service we have? If I give my juice of glass of juice to another devotee, he will not appreciate so much because there is unlimited serving. He will say, no problem. I will anyways go to the counter and get more. That devotee is willing to give me 10 glasses also. But suppose on another day, there is only one glass of serving for each devotee. On that day, I offer my glass of juice to another devotee. So then it's actually, there is chance of serving. If there's unlimited, then there is no chance of serving because there is everything is unlimited fashion. But when there is limited, then there is chance of more service, greater service. So when the unlimited becomes limited, then, so Yashoda Mai is thinking that Krishna is my little child. Who will take care of him? Who will feed him? Who will teach him good instructions? Not more, nothing more than that. So then that limited Lord actually gives scope for unlimited service. So Maharaj was mentioning, we are, Lord is Vibhu, we are Anu. But by Lord's mercy, he gives us also unlimited desire to serve. So he was giving example that when we go to spiritual world, there's a rose flower. So the rose flower sees Krishna. And he says, oh, I should become very beautiful to serve Krishna. So he becomes very beautiful. But then Krishna says, oh, I should become also beautiful to accept more service of flower. So he becomes more beautiful. So then flower thinks, I should become more beautiful to serve Krishna. So he becomes more beautiful. Then Krishna thinks, oh, I should reciprocate with flower and I should become more beautiful. And this continuously goes on unlimitedly. So the Anu, the limited insignificant living entity, by the grace of the Lord in the spiritual world, he keeps on expanding his desire to serve the Lord. So I'd like to end here. Just to conclude, we saw what are the different qualities which are required for a sadhaka. In the particular case of Dhruva Maharaj, the quality of determination is highlighted. So after we get those qualities, we have to learn to, so which Lord to approach. So then there is impersonal form, there is personal form. So here is highlighted the personal form. And in personal form, there is unlimited opportunity for service. And then the verse itself, Lord is never, he is willing to. So we saw the example of Daksha, we saw the example of, so depending on our desire, how we want to serve. So Daksha has got that envy and therefore still Lord reciprocates. He says, I am happy with you, but he still faces consequences. But Kardama Muni, he gets some enjoyment, but then he gets fulfillment. So it's depending on our desire, how Lord reciprocates. So thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.